Drage poslušalke, pozdravljene v 12. epizodi Povratnih zank, mesečni oddaji o internetni kulturi, teoriji in literaturi. Z vami sem Lea. Današnji input tematizira nišne internetne spletne skupnosti, ki se na takšen ali drugačen način združujejo zaradi obsesije nad določeno figuro ali vsebino. Začele bomo z obravnavo spletnih ljubiteljskih skupnosti s prebiranjem zina naslovljenega Fandom, izdanega strani kolektiva Everyone is a Girl, in nadaljevale z analizo spletne spiritualnosti oziroma načina, na katerega je bila kooptirana, skozi intervju s Sophie Public o njenem delu Swiping Right on God. Z letošnjim letom je kolektiv Everyone is a Girl, ki raziskuje spletno krajino skozi perspektivo dekliške teorije, izdal svoj drugi zin naslovljen Fandom. V zbranih besedilih piske razmišljajo o vlogi, ki ga je fandom zasedal v njihovih formativnih letih, kako lahko kot praksa in skupnost deluje v funkciji urodja za samo preizpraševanje in grajenje identitete, ter zakaj je žanr fanfikšena ali fanovske literature vredno analizirati. Fandom je izraz, ki ne opisuje zgolj obsesivnega spletnega oboževalstva, temveč govori o spektru dejavnosti, ki so povezane z navdušenjem nad določeno vsebino, naj bo to serija romanov, filmov, spletnih stripov ali glasbenikov. Te dejavnosti lahko vključujejo vse od kategorizacije znanja o določeni vsebini, teoriziranja o resničnih ali fiktivnih usodah ter pisanja lastne fenovske literature, ki združuje oboje. Morda je najpomembnejša vloga fandoma predvsem v grajenju skupnosti, ki s pomočjo spleta združuje uporabnice naklonjene določenim vsebinam. Če naštejemo nekaj skupnosti, ki jih naslovi tudi zbornik, so to bile, oboževalke, morda najpogosteje, knjižne in filmske serije Twilight, knjižne serije Harry Potter, glasbene skupine My Chemical Romance, nekatere izmed vplivnih, ki jih zbornik ne omenja, pa sta tudi spletni strip ali webkomik Homestuck in franšiza My Little Pony. Seveda se je beseda fandom v zadnjih letih razširila na katerokoli skupnost oziroma osebe, ki uživajo v razpravljanju o Marvel filmih, so gotovo del nekakšnega fandoma, vendar se bomo v današnji oddaji za voljo pristopa, ki ga predlaga zbornik, usredotočile predvsem na obravnavo najvplivnejših, prenaštetih zgodnih fandomov. Participacija v fandomu seveda lahko zavzame veliko različnih oblik, a najpogosteje so to deljenje uporabniških teorij, kategorizacij ter netenje diskusij. Še bolj ključne in specifične fenovskim skupnostim pa so umetniške in literarne forme, ki fikcijske like ali bolj in manj sporno resnične osebe reinterpretirajo po lastni viziji. Praksa fanarta oziroma fanovske umetnosti in fanfikšena oziroma fanovske literature sta se razvijali predvsem usporedno z večino diskusij na spletni platformi Tumblr ter samostojno na spletnih mestih Archive of Our Own, Wattpad in DeviantArt. Vse pravkar omenjene spletne strani so še vedno zelo aktivne in nadaljujejo z gostovanjem bogatega arhiva uporabniško generiranih vsebin. Georgina Breinert v svojem prispevku AN Fanfiction, Authorial Intrusion and the New Girl Scene o žanru fanovske literature razmišlja kot o produktivni površini za raziskovanje lastne identitete v zgodnjih najstniških letih. Kot zapiše, pri 14 letih ni imela okolja, v katerem bi lahko razdelala ideje in teme, ki jim je bila izpostavljena na spletu, kot so nasilje, samopoškodovanje, samomor, droge, alkohol, seks, homoseksualnost in spolna identiteta. Zaradi tega se je obrnila na splet, kjer se je skozi udeležbo v določenih skupnostih lahko oblikovala lastne predstave o določenih temah. Denimo skozi fikcijske zgodbe, v katerih avtorica ter youtuberja Dan and Phil hodijo na srednješolske zabave, kjer se prvič srečujejo s poljubljenjem in alkoholom. Pomembno je izpostaviti tudi, da številne glavne junakinje v fanfiction zgodbah delujejo kot avatari za bralko, tako imenovani self-inserti. To zgolj še bolj očitno poglobi element prvoosebnega raziskovanja sveta skozi spletno fikcijo. Avtorica takšno pisanje opredeli tako skozi lečo spekulativne fikcije, kot jo definira Francesca Coppa, v smislu postavljanja kaj če vprašanj skozi interakcije fikcijskih likov za boljše razumevanje lastnih prepričanj in morda pomembneje skozi prizmo prakse pisanja dnevnika, kot jo opredeli Joanne Cooper. Skozi aplikacijo teorije slednje bi fenovsko literaturo lahko obravnavale kot način izgrajevanja sveta. Zgodovinsko so namreč mnoge ženske prav v praksi pisanja dnevnika našle način za izgradnjo lastnih svetov in življenj, saj jih je polfikcijska, polbiografska forma osvobodila rigidnih struktur, ki so sicer narekovale njihov vsakdan. Na enak način so mnoge najstnice z uporabo spletnih orodij in platform predelovale kompleksne teme, ki so jim bile izpostavljene preko fiktivnih likov in situacij, s katerimi so se čutile povezane. Alice Minervini v prispevku Fandom's Glitch of Intimacies podpre pravkar izražen sentiment, vendar ga upne v skupnostne strukture. Avtorica fandom bere kot izraz alternativnih oblik navezanosti, ki svoj seksualnost in afektivnost kanalizira onkraj kapitalističnih heteronormativnih regulacij družbene reprodukcije. S parafrazo zapisa iz Fisherjevega bloga K-Punk pravi, da je fandom edina oblika ljubezni, ki ima resnične filozofske implikacije, strast, ki nas je sposobna stresti izven sensus communis. Čeprav bi bile do implikacij in samozavesti trditve lahko kritične, je vseeno pomembno, da emergentne spletne prakse, kot je fandom, obravnavamo previdno in nežno, saj nam podajajo vsaj koščke prvoto obljubljenega emancipatornega spleta. Čeprav je fandom gotovo že dosegel vrhunec svoje kulturne produktivnosti, je pomembno opozoriti, da še zdaleč ni mrtev. Morda je danes bolj dostopen, viden in integriran v platformne značilnosti družbenih omrežij kot kadarkoli prej. Možnosti za ustvarjanje in deljenje fenovskih stvaritev so neštete in čeprav se spletne uporabnice morda zatekajo stran od temnih gozdov v bolj zaprte in izolirane skupnosti, to ne pomeni, da le te ne morejo biti enako ali celo bolj produktivne. Uporabnice so se v veliki meri pomaknile naprej od platform in vsebin, ki so tesno zaznamovale nekdanje fandome, a je vseeno ključno, da poročujemo njihovo vlogo v izoblikovanju tako spletne folklore kot unikatnih praks izražanja. Fandom je v zgodovini spleta tako brez dvoma canon.
Frank and
Neil,
it's bedtime, time
for magnesium hydroxide.
Bye.
Drage poslušalke, pozdravljene nazaj v povratne zanke. Pravkar smo poslušali pesem A.S. Amigdala zasedbe Amnesia Scanner. V drugem delu oddaje bomo nadaljevali s temo spletne navezanosti, tokrat na virtualno spiritualnost in angele. Prebirali bomo delo Swiping Right on God, avtorice Sophie Public, ki je pravkar išlo pri Zavodu za sodobne umetnosti Axioma v zbirki esejev Postscriptum. Za obrazložitev koncepta omrežne spiritualnosti smo prosile avtorico besedila.
Yes, so network spirituality kind of refers to a belief on a very wide scale, and that is literally that the internet is a spiritual place and is somewhat inhabited by angels, has like a spiritual dimension to it, which can allude to, for example, the infrastructure bringing together very different agents that can be bots, can be users, can be more angelic kind of beings. But in general, just refers to a belief that the internet is a kind of alive and spiritual place. In a more distinct meaning, it also refers to a movement by some, you know, internet people, some artists, some writers and theorists that have been trying to establish the name network spirituality, or NetSP for short, to mean a specific kind of post-internet art that deals with, for example, psyops, with cult simulations, with all kinds of fringe occult spiritual mechanisms and techniques as part of a form of performance art.
V prostoru spletnega pomena, trendov in raziskovanja lahko neprestano opazujemo, kako nič nikoli ne premore stabilnega pomena. Na podoben način sta bila tudi estetika in gibanje omrežne spiritualnosti skozi njeno spletno uporabo kooptirana strani različnih družbenih skupin na popolnoma različne namene.
So, I think the idea that on the internet, things like visual content, like memes, but also all kinds of words and phrasings that are being used constantly by users, they do update all the time. So they don't have any form of stable definition to them. And we can see this very clearly with memes that get co-opted by different communities. So a meme can, depending on the context, also, of course, change its meaning. And it can go like, for example, the very famous example of Pepe the Frog. It can go from a more left-leaning, harmless meme to a full-on right-wing hate speech kind of symbol, and also go all the way back again. And the same is also true, of course, for the kind of characters that we see reappearing in network spirituality, which are, for example, angels and like angel core memes, where we can see that some of the memes that probably originated from girly Tumblr sites in the 2010s have often been used in also a very feminine kind of way. So, for example, saying stuff like, you know, I'm an angelic being, I'm purely good, I'm just, you know, just a little fairy flying by, but could also then get co-opted, of course, into more darker directions, where angels are basically becoming also messengers of doom and of like worse narratives about basically lack of agency in girls and women, and get kind of connected also to basically not giving women the form of agency. So it always kind of depends on who shares the memes, which of course is obscure because most of them are anonymous, most accounts that share memes, but it also can constantly update. And a huge part of that is also irony, where you can never, of course, be really sure if something is serious or not. So all of these factors, like who speaks, who shares, the humor, but also the kind of community where it circulates and how users then engage with it, they all determine these very oscillatory meaning of the one same content.
Pomembno vlogo pri razumevanju redefiniranja pomena omrežne spiritualnosti igra tako imenovana premestitev vibov oziroma vibe shift. Beseda artikulira afektivno spremembo v občutenju spletnega diskurza, čeprav je bila prvotno vzpostavljena in propagirana predvsem strani določenega kolektiva. Beseda v specifičnih krogih spletne teorije in umetnosti nosi močan kulturni pomen, saj predstavlja jasno zarezo v pojmovanju spletne subjektivnosti, premik Overtonovega okna in kvalitativno spremembo v odnosu do ironije.
The vibe shift was settled around 2020, 2021. And there were different factors also in the cultural shift that was experienced in digital cultures at that time. And on the one hand, it points to kind of an end of the so-called like woke left of the 2010s. And on the other, a kind of newfound fascination with all things occult, with all things spiritual. A part of the vibe shift is also the resurgence of CCRU in theory, for example, and more obscure and weird forms of theory. And the vibe shift was proclaimed around the so-called Dime Square scene of New York City, but cannot be, of course, fully attributed to one scene. But one thing where they really left their mark on it is in a kind of post-ironic neo-reactionary stance towards politics. So basically making fun of the woke left, so to say, and woke culture, you know, politically correct culture, and turning towards a more flirting, let's say, with alt-right aesthetics and also alt-right rhetorics. So this kind of political shift is also deeply connected to the vibe shift. But aesthetically, it has mostly been received in this turn towards a fascination with the occult, but also with medieval core, for example, and a little bit more alternative, weird cultural objects.
Kljub močni debati glede tega, kdo je vibe shift prvi prepoznal in teoriziral, je pomembno je to, na kakšne načine je vplival na pojmovanje omrežne spiritualnosti. Kako so si koncept prisvojile različne skupine?
Some of like the more prominent figures in what has been called network spirituality, the Substack writer Angelicism 01, who was also very, very active on Twitter, introduced a form of schizo posting rhetorics to the movement. And these were these kind of utterances that seemed very much inspired by what has been called a spiritual psychosis or a kind of mental breakdown under, you know, schizophrenic insights into seeing science and God everywhere, which is definitely the kind of language that network spirituality inherited. I mean, what is interesting about Angelicism, at least, is that when the accounts on Twitter, or like his account on Twitter, became really popular, more and more copycat accounts also showed up and were retweeted then by the original account, which kind of shows this kind of swarm behavior that was very prominent also in network spirituality, as in creating this kind of base of like cult followers. However, of course, this is something that has been around way longer, that is not explicit or specific to network spirituality. In another strand, with maybe more the kind of esoteric traditions and trajectories that are in the movement itself, can be attributed to the Remilia Collective, whose founder has also been as prominent and in popularizing the so-called Kali Yuga accelerationism, which was problematic movement propagating some very distinct right-wing esotericist values, clinging back to racist ideals and so-called root races, and calling for basically a return to like Blavatskyan philosophy and Evolian philosophy, which were kind of hidden under a lot of like cute surfaces, like for example the Milady Maker NFT, which is this like very cute chibi avatar NFT that was very popular in that scene and still is. Yeah, and all of this then kind of culminates in the short video content of Based Retard Gang, which have been going viral on TikTok and on Instagram, and really do like the over-aestheticization of theory and of therapy speak buzzwords and of manifestation content, crypto content, all kinds of popular themes and digital cultures, but kind of empty it out to a purely aesthetic understanding. So there are no deep implications there in theory or in philosophy or even in esotericism, but really just the aesthetic ornamentation of these kind of buzzwords.
Zanimiv element omrežne spiritualnosti ali netspi je prav njena lastnost, da cveti v prostorih, kjer je vera v koncepte in resnice neobvezna, participacija pa zagotovljena. V tem smislu je zelo jasno, zakaj je za svoje zavetišče izbrala družbena omrežja.
So, I think a lot of the momentum for a network spirituality can be found in a kind of search for meaning among users themselves. And if we look back, for example, at memes of the COVID-19 pandemic, one meme account that went really viral during that time was the Affirmations account on Instagram, which posted these post-ironic image macros of sort of weird hypostitions like, I will not ask my parents for money, or, you know, I will get up tomorrow and have a nice day. These kind of self affirmations that on the one hand, of course, are kind of true, but are also somewhat silly. And in that case, really showcase this tension of post-irony, because it's both serious and unserious at the same time. And I feel in this space that then opens up whether you're not really sure, maybe yourself, if you're being serious about something or not, is really where the belief then trickles in. And in the case of network spirituality, I would say that a lot of it is more profane, as the kind of gestures in the community itself is they're entirely behavioral. So people, for example, will post under a network spirituality meme something like, "I affirm," or "my prayers to this and that." So this is, again, not something that may be super serious, but it might also not be completely untrue. And I feel through cosplaying these kind of slightly brain-rotten cultist members, you can still kind of create a community from that, that is bound together by certain beliefs, whether, you know, they are entirely true or not. And I think this is the kind of dynamic that is at the heart of this movement, where, again, a lot of things then become pure aesthetic because they're not maybe fully meant like that. But of course, this also opens the possibility to have all kinds of ideologies in there. And while something can be, like, you know, celebrated in a post-ironic fashion, doesn't mean that it can still be harmful content. For example, when we go more into the right-wing, esoterist, racist content that is often circulated also in this community.
Autorica se v svojem delu navezuje tudi na delo Alex Kišo, ko trdi, da koncept dekleta ne deluje zgolj kot reprezentacija spletnega, temveč kot umestnik. Dekliškosti v tem smislu ne smemo razumeti kot identitete, temveč kot infrastrukturno pogojenost.
One of the most misunderstood things maybe about the girl online is that this process of girlification was never meant as a new category of identity, but really as the kind of behavior that it elicits in its users, which become girls through that, which means that, you know, as users, we do not create the internet as it is today, but we have to passively, like, fit into the boxes that are being provided to us by big tech platforms. And that, of course, is a little bit more girl-coded in that sense. And while it may seem at first that this denies all kind of revolutionary potential or even agency within users, it actually does give us the possibility to find ways inside that system to subvert it. And that is something that the girl online has been a very prolific figure or process to think with in how to do this, because it kind of is this contingency plan that how can we still come together and have communities online when we have to operate under, for example, algorithmic censorship or, you know, community guidelines that prohibit certain things to talk about. And here the girl online can really give some ideas and some actual behaviors to how to navigate this space. For example, in you know, girls that are girls from the Middle East who then, you know, do makeup tutorials on YouTube to talk about the ongoing war in their countries. And because the algorithm just sees then the makeup tutorial, it gets circulated and gets favored and doesn't get as censored as if you would do a distinctly political video. And these kind of strategies, exploitation of loopholes that are being created by algorithmic cultures and social media platforms, are really what is at the heart of the girl online.
S tem zaključujemo pogovor s Sophie Public in se poslavljamo od spletnih angelov in deklet. V današnji oddaji smo kot podlagi poslušale Threshold, avtorja Tuna Display, in This Exact Moment, Juleka Ploskija. Naslednjič bomo v povratnih zankah prebirale zbornik Non-Playable Characters kolektiva LAN Party in se pogovarjale z Morgan Biluart o njenem delu Becoming the Product, the Critical Internet Researcher as a Virtual Intellectual. S tem zaključujemo današnji output. Fanfiction sem pisala Lea, šipala je Tina.